You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Mason Dixon, joined once again by Corey, the Bayou Benders, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. We are back. Kind of an uneventful couple of days for the Habs. There was the NHL draft combine. There was the Bill Masterton, which we'll talk about. But other than that, not a lot. So might be a more brief episode today until we get that Stanley Cup final matchup. But first and foremost, Corey, how are you, buddy? How you been?
I'm doing okay. Kind of like you're saying, it's really just the only two series left, the Masterton. Not a lot to talk about, but I think there was some big moments in the since we've talked, especially revolving these two series that are going on right now. I guess before we get into that, I mean, how are you doing? You doing all right?
I'm doing pretty good. I played a couple of rounds of golf since we last spoke. Had my best round of the year, actually.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I only played nine holes, though. I was a little upset. I shot 36 on a par 33. So I was pretty fucking gassed about that.
Nice.
Then the next day, I played the same course and shot a 53. So golf is a miraculous, confusing game that I can't wrap my head around. But
so you were a plus three the day that you played the good day?
Okay. I was a plus three, shot my first birdie of the year. I've only been out six times, hadn't shot a birdie yet this season. I just had the greatest game of my life. Went out the next day, of course, the same course too. And just fucking shit the bed. Shot 53 through 9.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. But that's golf. Golf is a cruel, brutal game, and I don't understand it, but I'm addicted to it.
I heard that. Pretty uneventful for me, just working a little bit. I did go hang out with Dave, like I showed you. I sent you. He's been working on his outdoor spot so he can watch hockey at night. Pretty sick. I'm loving the new deck. I'm sure it's going to get to a point to where there's like no grass in his backyard. It should be an entire wooden deck from the house to the, you know, his little shotgun house to his backyard loft, I guess. but yeah, let's get into the Masterton. Honestly, a bit surprised by it. I really thought that this was going to go to
Kevin Hayes.
Kevin Hayes, yeah. I really did to lose your brother and a former NHL player and his best friend his entire life, basically. And to still like compose yourself and come back and still play out your season, you know, amongst getting hurt and then finding a way to get back and stuff like that. I really did think it was just heavily in his favor. I'm very happy Carey Price won it. I think we've talked about this before. It's such a tough, it's a tough award. You know, it always comes from just battling adversity and, you know, Price, they talked to him on a Zoom call after. It's like a little 9-minute talk. He's just chilling at the house. You know, he just said it was a special honor for him. He's grateful to receive the award. You know, said it's a special list of players that have won this. And they've, you know, he's got a ton of respect for those guys and grateful to be part of that.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a... Like, I'm not going to sit here and say one player deserved it more over another because it's basically a word that tries to quantify a person's suffering. In a way, it's kind of a little messed up, but I think Price definitely did deserve this because he did overcome a lot of challenges this year, not only in injuries, but, you know, possibly getting traded, possibly getting drafted by Seattle, overcoming his addiction to opioids or pain medication. I'm assuming it's opioids, so maybe we're wrong there, but he went through a lot here, and yeah, it's good to see that he gets recognized, I guess, for the challenges he overcame. But like you said, like, I think Kevin Hayes definitely could have been deserving of the Bill Masterton as well. The only thing I really want to talk about on it is the omittance of Price from the ballot of any French reporters. There were only two Montreal Canadiens, like, would you say, like, focused reporters that actually had him on their ballot, Engels and Arpomba. So all the French media fucking guys, the TVS Sports, La Presse, none of them had Price on their ballot. And they, I saw, what was it? I saw Marc Dumont, who formerly of The Athletic, now working for the Canadiens. Someone pointed it out to him, and he said, wow, it was shocking. And these fucking vultures from La Presse, Richard, what's his name? Richard La something, and just the other, they all come attacking, circling him. Look, I think there are a lot of amazing people in this fan base, but Corey, I'm not sure if you saw that. I just thought that was disgusting.
No, I didn't. This is the first of hearing about it.
Their justification for it was stupid too. They didn't want it, basically saying, "Oh, he hasn't suffered." Like, just stupid shit. Like
he didn't suffer more than the other people.
Trying to say like they're not homers, they're not fanboys, they're not like they have a bone to pick with Carey Price because he wouldn't answer their question this year.
Yeah,
and it's a difficult subject in Canada, this, especially right now. I'm not sure if you're aware, Corey, there is a battle going on in Quebec right now with some, I would call, prejudiced laws. The French premier and the French current sitting French government imposing, I believe it's called Bill 96, a bunch of other laws in which basically restrict Anglo rights, English speaking rights in Quebec. Look, this has been a difficult topic for a very long time. And I think this is kind of, what do you want to say, feeding into it. There's some strife right now in Quebec. I was going to say French-speaking Canada, but a lot of Quebec is English-speaking. And I just think that, like, seeing this really, really disheartens me because, like I said, I don't really like the idea that we quantify someone's suffering, but for them to just be petty and look, like, you look at the Selke that just got released today, the Boston area writers weren't afraid to put Patrice Bergeron on their ballot because they were accused of being homers. Okay. Like, say what you want. I think Price is deserving of being on your ballot. And of the top three guys who are remaining, like Chara, Hayes, and Price, like, he should be there. And I don't know, just seeing the comments they're making on Twitter and posting like articles and stuff about it, it was just fucking disgusting. And it just feeds into how kind of my distaste for a lot of these French reporters the last couple of years who just seem to despise everything this organization does and everything about it. It's just weird to me. Like, I agree you shouldn't blindly fucking root for everything the organization does. You should be critical thinking and you should be outspoken on whether you agree or disagree with things. That's your job as a journalist. But to simply run a smear campaign about an organization that you're supposed to be a fan of and that you're not, maybe not even a fan, but that you're supposed to cover. Like, it's just fucking ridiculous. And at this point, I don't really have any time for it. And I'm sorry for the little rant. I just had to fucking say something because it's just, I don't know. Like, I'm sure people have seen it and hear it from the French. It's just gross. I hate it. And I'm tired of it. And I wish that they would just crawl back into the little fucking dens of wherever the fuck they crawl out of, because they're weasels. They're snakes in the grass, and I have no time for that.
No, I understand. I guess it's not funny that you brought it up. And it's not like on to what you talked about, but they did within whoever talked to Carey Price in a Zoom meeting, obviously they brought up his injury and recovery and trying to milk some more out of him. And just like Carey Price says, you know, he kind of stonewalls him, you know, he says, you know, there's nothing really new to get brought up. You know, he's taking his time, but he's about to start ramping things up to get, you know, prepared for next season, basically what he does every year. But I know it's like a genuinely okay question to ask. I just feel like you were saying, like they've hunted Price all season for this main question. It's just, maybe it's not the biggest thing. I just felt maybe not the right one to ask during this specific type of award. I mean, I could be wrong. It could just be my opinion. I just felt like it was just like the most important question they had circled was making sure that they asked that one to see if they could get something out of him, since he was so, you know, to himself and just trying to deal with it his own way this year. Fucking moving on.
Clarify, the two I'm talking about in particular are Simone Lorraine, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, and Richard Lebe. You two are fucking snake. Like, you're not journalists. You're just pieces of shit. And to go after, like, what really pissed me off and the reason this set me up, our friend of the show, Matt Drake, basically tweeted out, like, in response to, because Simon was just going after Merck Dumont, tweeted out a very minor thing, like, kind of like, just like, stop. And this guy at Habs Eyes on the Prize, like, the main account, says, "You guys okay with this?" Like, trying to snitch on, like, you're a grown ass man. Like, just shut the fuck up. Sorry. That just, like, you two are despicable. You're not journalists. And I don't know. I'm just tired of it. Like, you see people acting like clowns on social media and using their platform for long enough. And at some point, you just have to say enough's enough. So, right. I hope, you know, La Presse looks at this and see. You're trying to say a guy's not acting professional, and you come out here and you're fucking trying to snitch on him to his boss. Like, get the fuck out of here. This is a podcast. I don't have to act professional. I can tell you to go fuck yourself. But like you said, anyway, moving swiftly onwards, because I think I've said my piece there. We don't need to focus on that much more.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about next? We can talk about the combine, or we can talk about...
Well, yeah, let's get into the combine. Let's go into the combine a little bit. I didn't get to see any of it, but I'm sure you got to get your eyes on it. So yeah, I guess I'm like, picture me as a fan. I'm excited to hear any combine chatter.
Cool. Yeah. So the NHL combine just recently concluded, and it was, I don't want to say anticlimactic, because it always is. It's always, the results are kind of like iffy, I find. You know, a lot of the time you'll have players who do really, really well at the combine, and I haven't seen any statistics that actually show how much the correlation between top combine results and top production, top talent in the NHL is. But I do find the interviewing process in particular very interesting. And we had some interesting responses from a couple players and some interesting information provided to us. So first and foremost, we learned that apparently the Montreal Canadiens have had developed a reputation over the weekend for being the toughest interview, or sorry, over the week for being the toughest interview. They had some difficult questions and players were coming out of there being a little confused. Like, you know what I mean? Like, apparently it was a tough interview, which I fucking love, because, you know, we've learned that we've heard organizations in the past, like Steve Yzerman apparently was always a very tough interview. And we've learned that Montreal's kind of overhauled their scouting department. They brought in, you know, people, some sports psychiatrists, stuff like that. So I think it's cool to find that, you know, Montreal is what I perceive is doing well. We're being very thorough in their process. They interviewed a lot of players, we heard. So that's also good. They're keeping their options open. It was great too, because we also got some great quotes from the projected top three players. The most polarizing of which, Corey, one of your personal favorites, Slafkovský. Let me tell you, this guy wants to go first overall. Some of the comments he came out with were just spectacular. My personal favorite, quote, playing with Caulfield and Suzuki would be the perfect fit in my mind. They're two relatively small players, so I'd make sure to give them space and take care of complementing their games. Yes, I've already thought about all of this. What a statement from him.
Now, I think this is just, I guess, like a little, you know, something in between before we continue on. I feel like we can really see, like, this is confidence, but this is definitely the confidence surpassing the cockiness spectrum. Whereas how we were talking about that, that Shane Wright sits really, really well balanced on the confidence spectrum. That is such a cocky statement for someone that just truly believes and is wanting to make a statement, you know, because like you're I'm sure in these meetings, you know, you're trying to answer the things the right way or the way you want to be perceived. And this kid knows exactly how he wants to be perceived. And it's to prove a point, you know, like, fucking, I'm going to get picked overall, first overall. That's how I'm perceiving it in myself. I know where I would be the glue guy for you. This is the type of things like I've already done the work. I know where I'd fit in your team. Like, I love that. I'm not gonna lie. Like, that's super fucking cocky. Fuck, dude. I love that. This is a Euro guy saying this.
He's a Euro guy, and he's saying this stuff, which I find
Feel like they're normally very reserved.
Well, he's also Slavic.
Okay.
He's from Slovakia, and what I learned from living with a Slovakian person, or not a Slovak, a Slavic person for the last 8 months, they tell you what's on their mind.
Awesome.
So it actually doesn't really surprise me.
Okay.
But it's funny that you call that confident cocky, or sorry, that that statement cocky, because his next one, I think, is even better. He said, they asked him, why would the Canadians make you the first overall pick? And Slafkovský's response was, because I can score, pass, hit, and play defensively. In fact, I can do anything. And I'm exactly the kind of guy Montreal needs to integrate into its organization. Mm-hmm.
Dude, I think we're tiptoeing pretty close to nails. To his, you know, I don't know if you've, if you remember when Yakupov played, I think it was Canada in World Juniors, his statements after, I think we're getting a little close to the level of cockiness there. But honestly, they do speak real raw. They do speak real raw. I think there's a difference with him. And by no means do I think he's going to turn out like Neil Yakupov. this kid's a monster. Like, he's massive, and he's not like, he might not be the fastest fucking kid, and he's definitely not the goofiest footed kid. Like, he has some balance, and, you know, he kind of knows what he's doing.
People forget about Yakupov too. Most teams didn't have him first overall.
Yeah.
But what I thought was really interesting about Slavkovsky's comments is that it seemed to have kind of sparked some responses from Shane Wright. Shane Wright started making some comments. And he had some great stuff to say too. Not obviously, and I think it's interesting. I'll tell you what he says, and then I'll kind of make my point. So they asked Shane Wright on the players he would like to play with in Montreal. His response was Cole Caulfield, all centers dream of playing with a scorer like him, and Brendan Gallagher for his extraordinary and contagious passion. And he also said, where is, let me just quickly, I had it written down here. Fuck, where is it? Sorry about that. He said, oh, here we go. They asked him about the opportunity to, they're asking about a bunch of stuff with the Habs. And then he had a message for Habs fans. And he said, if I have the opportunity to play for your team, I will give you everything I have. I want to give you championships, plural. I will do everything to achieve it. And I think those are some bold statements as well. But what I really find interesting is that it kind of, the way they speak kind of also describes the way they play. Slavkovsky is a very flashy, you know, big statement, mm-hmm. big impact player. You know,
he's a loud player, very intense.
Shane Wright is more methodical. He's quiet, but makes a statement in his play. And it's interesting the way their personalities kind of show. And in their play style as well. And I think that's, I thought that was very interesting to see. There was also some comments, of course, from Logan Cooley, who they spoke to. And I thought he was phenomenal. Like he hit one quote they asked, they said he had a message as well. I know there's a lot of noise in Montreal about which player you will be selected first. If I'm your choice, you'll like me on and off the ice. I'm doing everything I can to be the best person I can be. It is important. Also, he was discussing shit. Sorry, my little document here is not enjoying the fact that I'm also on Zoom because my laptop's still broken. But he said they're asking him a bunch of questions. He said, I believe, look, this is Logan Cooley. I believe I've earned the chance to be the first player selected. I have shown steady progress over the past 2 years, and I firmly believe I have a wide range of things to offer the Canadians. So it was kind of interesting. You had this, wouldn't want to say a war of words, but kind of all three trying to kind of sell themselves to the Canadians. There were other players they asked about the Habs as well, like Matthew Savoie, who said if he had the opportunity to be drafted by the Canadians, that would be a dream come true for him. They were talking to a bunch of players, but you could tell kind of there are three players in because I made a note of all the quotes I found interesting. These three in particular, they were the only three that really spoke to Habs fans. You know, they mm-hmm. all, I think all three of them believe realistically that they can go first overall, and all three of them want to go to the Habs.
Right.
I think it's interesting. Like, I don't think there's much of a, discussion. I still think it's going to be Shane Wright, but I can't remember, and I do pay attention less when the Habs aren't drafting as highly, but I can't remember an instance where three guys were kind of appealing to an organization in the manner that these guys were at the combine.
Okay. All three guys, from what you said, I love it. There's like a, I mean, every year there's a drive that, you know, like all these kids are passionate about what they're doing. But these three, well, mainly these two, and I feel bad for Logan Cooley. We never really look deep into him. But you can just tell that it's there. Like, I love that they're very open about wanting the fans to know that they're in for any challenge. They understand where the team's at right now, and they're accepting of that challenge and ready to run with it. And maybe that's with every fucking dream of a first overall, because it's normally with a shitty team and we normally don't pick fucking first overall. But I love the back and forth it feels like between Shane Wright and Slavkovsky. I don't want to judge them as far as they're like this player or that player, but I really hope, like, whatever happens, I hope that they have a rivalry that is similar to Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin. And by no means am I trying to make those players. I'm just saying, like, even if it's on a smaller scale, I just hope that they're just competitive towards one another in that sense. It'd be sick if they were in the same division, which they won't be, but I just think we have an opportunity to see a really good battle for the next couple of years between those two guys, and I'm all here for it.
I think it'd be the three of them, and just because I can't help myself, I wonder if Slavkovsky and Cooley in particular feel the need to sell themselves so much because they know one of them's going to be headed to Arizona.
Hey, you know what?
You know,
honestly, in all honesty, dude, like, I think of those two, I think Slavkovsky would be a great fit there, just because his intensity feels like, yeah, he'd feel maybe like he got struck a bad hand, but I don't think that this kid would let that affect how nasty he could be on the ice. Like,
see, I think though that Slavkovsky, what he strikes me at, he strikes me as a Showtime kind of guy. That guy wants to be
He wants to play somewhere massive.
I think he's a guy that thrives under the lights too. And I say that because I think a lot of what's gone against him is that most of his production, and I agree that's a valid argument, has come at these tournaments, the World Championships, the Olympics, the World Juniors, right? But I think that also goes to show that when the games matter and you're under the brightest lights, Slavkovsky steps up.
Yeah.
And I think that's a very NHL projectable quality. And I think he will do better in a franchise like that, where, like, I think if Slavkovsky, who I don't want the Habs to draft him first overall, but if he went to Montreal, I think his play would be better than if he went to Arizona, regardless of his teammates.
No, I think so, like, too. Because I think
a guy like Logan Cooley doesn't matter, right? He's just kind of – he's going to play where he's going to play.
Yeah. I think I get what you're saying. I feel like Slavkovsky would play – I don't want to say he would play any less better, but I think that it would put such a drive to play even harder if he played in a big market. Like, I just think that he would hold – he's going to hold himself to the number one standard he could be, but I think if you threw him to the wolves of a massive market, it would only make him, like – improve that much faster if that was, you know, if this was his fate in the league. I think he's one of the few guys that could really, like, that a guy that won't crumble in a market like that.
Yeah. Well, and he's the kind of guy, like, if those fucking snakes, Simon and Richard, come after him in Montreal, he doesn't give a shit. Who are they? I'm fucking Jurijas Slavkovsky. Who the fuck are you? I'm Showtime. You write about me. You know what I mean? That's that guy's mentality. And I think To a certain extent, however, that's also Shane Wright. Just in a much less...
Yeah, just on a different...
it's less belligerent. He's less belligerent about it.
I honestly feel like they're the yin and yang of each other. Like, he's the cool side of the pillow, and Slavkovsky's just this hot, you know, hot-headed... Like, I just feel like, yeah. If you put them on a pendulum scale, they're just dead even. Like, they're just the complete opposites of each other. And it,
but also the same.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I forgot, my wife always has a saying that's like very similar to that. Like, it's, you're the opposite of me. We're on the other side, but like together, we literally are the same being, just on the different spectrum of it. Excuse me, Jesus. I didn't even have enough time to mute that. So that's, I'm sorry for the audio spike for y'all that's coming. No, I love it. I honestly hope that, because they're so similar and because they're probably going to go 1 and 2 overall, that there's just a bit of rivalry sparked between them, because it's honestly going to be something fun to watch for years to come. And I just really hope for the best for both players, even Logan Cooley. I think Logan Cooley, and it's on me for him falling in the shadows a little bit. I hope he's just as impressive too. Like, just trying to show that, like, look, like, I know I'm not one of the big three. Or I mean, one of the big two guys being talked about. And I know he is in Canada. I know he is in Canada, because people were saying that it's Logan Cooley over Shane Wright for a while. But in my head, you know, I know that there's got to be people like me out there that didn't do as much research or didn't have an opportunity to do it. He's going to impress a lot of people as well. And I think he's going to be not a sleeper, because he's probably going to go, you know, second or third overall. But I think he's quietly going to impress a lot of people that didn't do their research, I guess.
Well, I'll be honest, I haven't heard any of the Logan Cooley over Shane Wright debates, I guess, but I do think that Logan Cooley's the second best player in this draft. I do believe so. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's going overall, because you look at New Jersey, like, that's the perfect fit for Slavkovsky. They don't need a center.
Mm-hmm.
They have Jack Hughes. They have Nico Hischier. They've got another young center who's slipping my mind. Slavkovsky's going to play with one of those guys. And that'll be perfect, right? So I just think, by design, if you're Logan Cooley, you're going, fuck. I'm headed to the desert, right?
I think that kid could really strive there. Like,
I think he would do well there. He strikes me as a very calm and collected person.
Like, I didn't do enough research on him. But just from his interview, like what you were telling me, like, it sounds like no matter where you're going to put him, he's going to find a way to, you know, to find his rhythm there and hopefully bring a team around it. Honestly, like, you know, I'm sure Arizona wants first. I'm sure they want more than third, you know, but they're not going to get a bad pick. Any one of these three guys is going to be a great fit for them, whether it's, you know, whether they have, you know, they're the right player at the time. But any of these three guys seem like they'll go through a fucking wall for whatever organization they get thrown their way, and not just because they have to. Like, I think just skill-wise on its own, we might have lost a year and a half worth of, like, really seeing what these kids' development could have, you know, like, there's that asterisk. But I think these are going to be exceptional kids, because they're going to be a piece of that chosen few. Now, granted, everyone that comes after them for the next, like, 2 years, 3 years is going to have the same, you know, experience. Oh, well, I missed out that year, so I'm extra passionate. But the people that affect the most are, like, the guys that were drafted last year and the guys that are drafted this year, because this was such a pivotal moment in their, you know, in their draft eligibility or where they'll go. I think that you're going to see a tremendous amount of drive from these last two draft classes because of how special they realize hockey is – for them in its own, and being lost to it because of a disease that affected the world, that, you know, like shut everything down. I just think that this could be one of those classes that, I'm not going to say that, like, you know, like the 03 class or the, you know, like any of like the legendary classes, but
the 03 class,
the one that Biz is always talking mad about, you know, like I know there's better ones and shit. I just thought of Biz because I'm looking at his goofy ass fucking face right now, with his shaved head. But I think the kids from this class are going to be true grinders for the simple fact that, like, a good chunk of their, you know, development was taken from them. So all they want to do is, like, they saw how important hockey was in their life. So, like, the kids that really shine in this, in these two, or, you know, the next two or three, is going to be, like, unreal.
Okay.
Maybe that's just fucking out of this world fucking crazy. But
I'll be honest, you kind of lost me a little bit.
I'm sure I lost everyone. I guess in a simpler fashion, to lose something that is so important to you, and all you can do is sit back and hope that you can get it back, and then when it finally comes back, you're just so grateful and appreciative to be back doing what you love, that your growth and your heart towards it are like tenfold better. Like, I just think that, like, their ceiling just got that much higher because they lost so much time from their love.
You're trying to say that they're going to have a lot of drive to improve.
Thank you.
You're trying to say, yeah.
Thank you.
I don't think there's a generational superstar in this draft like there are in others.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there's going to be a lot of very solid NHL players in this draft. Moving on, however, but before we do so, first, quickly, a message from our friends at DraftKings, I believe.
That's right, that's right, Mr. Robot. Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports, period. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's win or lose. If you're looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during playoffs with DraftKings same game parlays, you can do just that. You can create your own parlays by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Y'all remember, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details.
Beautifully done. Am I still?
No, you're a lot better. I'm gonna do my best to trim the fat on some of that. You kind of went kind of went a little staticky for a bit, but no, you sound fine.
All right, well, let's move swiftly onwards while my audio is still acceptable. The Evander Kane hit on Kadri. Do you just want to jump right into that?
Sure.
Like, that
sure.
was
sure. I
fucking obscene.
You know, I was watching it with Dave. At the Dave Palace, and that's a tough hit. I think both players are capable of hits like that, and that was Dave's whole thing. Was I was like, I'm feeling sympathetic to Kadri. He's had an unreal season. He was you could just kind of like Tom Wilson, you know, like at any moment the fucking it could snap, and then he's getting another 7-game and up suspension. But I think Kadri has really taken strides to move away from that type of player. And he gets hit like that in what I believe to be easily an MVP of the playoffs candidate year. And now he's out for the rest of the playoffs with an undisclosed injury. If anything, I'm sure he fucked his arm up because that looked like initial impact or maybe his shoulder.
I don't think they said they didn't say he's out for the playoffs. They said he's out for the series.
Hopefully it's just the series then. I could have sworn because I
could be something mistaken, earlier. But I'm positive it's just like they haven't.
Okay. Well, let's hope so because he's been absolutely unreal. But like I was saying though, like Dave couldn't get over the fact that and honestly, look, folks, like he really doesn't deserve the remorse because of like some of the really fucked up shit he's done in the past. But Dave was like, you know what? If anything, that's karma. Like this dude has had this coming for so long. And it obviously had to come when his game has changed for the better. And he's like a significant difference maker out there. And it fucking happens, you know,
by another grimy player.
Okay. Are you disagreeing with totally Dave or are you disagreeing with me?
Caudry.
You hate him? I'd love him on our team.
Whoever said that this is karma, because I'll be honest, you know, I can't stand Nazem Kadri, but I never want to see anyone take a fucking, like, I don't care. Like, I think Kadri's a little weasel. I think he's thrown some stupid hits, but honestly, I don't know if I've ever seen Nazem Kadri try to end someone's career like that. Like, this isn't Matt Cook, okay? If Matt Cook went face first into the boards and broke his jaw, broke his face, I wouldn't give a shit. That guy deserved it, okay? There are some grimy players out there that intend to injure people. I don't think Nazem Kadri has ever wanted to end someone's career like that.
Okay. I agree. If it was Matt Cook, I'd be like, well, he definitely deserved that. I'm in no way saying that. I don't think Kadri was not deserving of it. I guess I'm just starting to maybe we can just call it sympathetic because of fantasy hockey, but I didn't have Kadri this year. I had him last year. Really impressed by his game and honestly impressed at the strides he is taking to be a difference maker offensively than, you know, just playing a weird, non-needed enforcer role. I don't know. I'm going to stay on my side. What's that?
I cut out. I'm sure you noticed. I didn't hear any of what you said.
All you said, all I heard. I don't was, know fuck if you heard me. I filled it in with some audio.
I can
hear I'm you. You haven't.
Sorry. Like, trust me. There's no one more pissed off than me. I don't know what I sound like right now. I hear Corey talking, so I don't know if you can hear me.
We can hear you, but you are a little in and out at some points. But
I'm gonna end my podcast here. I don't know if Corey wants to fill it in, but I'm gonna leave with my final note being, fuck you, Bell. I fucking hate you. I will never, I don't care if this ruins a sponsorship in the future, I will never, ever fucking advocate for you, you garbage fucking company, piece of shit humans, fuck you. I'm out.
Well, I guess that was our Bell Let's Talk segment. Well, Mason, we really appreciate everything you do for this fucking show, and we know you're dealing with trying times without your audio, but I guess, you know, if you're afraid of the roboticness and the kid just cares a lot about his audio quality, which, I mean, so do I. He's been dealt a bad hand and is doing his absolute best. But I stand on my side. I do feel sympathetic towards him. I do think he was deserving of it, but not in a sense that, like, that could have ended his career. I didn't want that for him. But I do feel like there's a lot of cheap shots that he's well-earned coming his way. But maybe it's because I really want to see Colorado move on. And I know that having Nazem Kadri against Tampa Bay or New York is going to be, I wouldn't say the difference maker, but a massive help. And I hate it because if Mason, not here anymore. I was going to say, because if Mason was here, I would have loved to talk a little bit about the New York series. I was so, I don't want to say anti-New York. I really didn't think they were going to get it done. Game two of that series, I believe they shut them out, which is awesome. They destroyed that streak that Tampa Bay was on. Tampa Bay has definitely lost some links in their chain, and it's showing. And I wish this was the year we played them. I really do. It is what it is.
No.
There he is.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Fucking New York's the biggest fraud of an organization. They haven't deserved to win either fucking round. I think Pittsburgh's, based on analytics, had like a 76% chance of winning that series, and they fucking lost. Carolina totally outplayed them. They've played three games against the fucking starting NHL goalie. They got fucking lucky that Shesterkin's fucking holding them on by their fucking shoestrings. It's ridiculous. What's going to happen? They're going to fucking beat Tampa. They're going to go to the final, and the Colorado Avalanche are going to fucking sweep them. They're going to rob us of Tampa versus Colorado, and they're going to shit the bet. Because that's the rate. No. The Rangers are the biggest chokers in the fucking league. If they couldn't win with Henrik Lundqvist, they cannot win with fucking Shesterkin. Absolutely not.
All I care about, Mason, is that Tampa Bay goes home the same way Florida did.
I just don't want to see Tampa lose to New York, because New York's like, I can't accept that New York is going to make the Stanley Cup final.
I had the same passion as you had last year. I was saying Montreal needs to play the best to be the best. And
that's not what I care about. This isn't for the abs.
I
just don't respect shit hockey doing well. It's like when Dallas made the final. Like, fuck off. You guys suck. How are you here? I'm sure it's how teams felt about us last year. I want to see best on best, Tampa Bay versus Colorado. I want to see McKinnon versus Stamkos, Kucherov. I don't want to see McKinnon against fucking Mika Zibanejad, who is a phenomenal player, but come on. You want to go from McKinnon versus McDavid to fucking McKinnon versus Mika Zibanejad? Absolutely not. Nope.
No, I'm just real spiteful to that team.
And if the Rangers do win, I'm spiteful too, but the problem is, if the Rangers get past Tampa and then they win against Colorado with Pavel Francouz, they've played one team with a starting goalie. I would throw a rampage. I would throw riot. It'd be the biggest fraud of an NHL Stanley Cup win ever.
You'd bring the truckers back to Ottawa.
I would fucking send them to New York. Send them down to Manhattan.
Oh Lord.
Although actually none of them could probably get across the border because they're not vaccinated. But life finds way.
Oh Jesus. Look, man, I just want to see Colorado fucking hoist the cup this year, honestly, or the Oilers. But I really don't see that. The Oilers they're looking tough, and Colorado is looking really good. I was honestly, as we record this, Andre Palat scores the winning goal to have Tampa Bay, get one on the series. But they, I don't know, I kind of fell asleep on the game a little bit. They were in it, but I just feel like there's something off. And you know, we're going to hear about it in the off season and all that. But all in all, I just think, you know, that regardless of what Mason's saying, the Rangers have found it right now. And they are getting dealt a pretty lucky hand, and he would go ballistic if they moved on. But either way, I think Colorado, with or without Nazem Kadri, can surpass the Oilers. They're proving it. But I don't think this Tampa Bay team, if they're playing like they are against the Rangers right now, it's not happening against Colorado. And I feel the same way with the Rangers. I think the Rangers are playing good. I think Shesterkin has had an unreal season, but I don't think Shesterkin has met a force that is as deadly as Colorado right now. And I know that they're playing Tampa Bay, and that sounds hilarious because Tampa Bay has done it 2 years in a row, but that team is not playing like the two-time back-to-back Stanley Cup champions right now, whereas the Colorado Avalanche are sitting in the offensive zone cycling like I've never seen before. It's been unreal. Yesterday's game, which was, in fact, for y'all, Saturday's game, because it's just going to sound stupid, but Saturday's game was unreal to watch. They've done this for the past three games against them. It was hilarious seeing Biz get his head shaved finally, but poor Mason got lagged out. I'm getting text messages of just all caps angries. So I'm just going to end her right here. I just want to say on his behalf, because this was his intro day, thank y'all so much for listening. This has been Habs Nightly. If you like what you hear, please give us a follow on Twitter at Habs Nightly and myself at Bayou Benders. Don't forget, you can send us, y'all can send us a up to 90-second long voicemail on our SpeakPipe account. That's www.speakpipe.com/Habs Nightly. Leave us a comment. We will play it and then answer it on air. If it's a question, those are awesome during the off season when we're a little low on things to talk about. But once again, folks, this has been Habs Nightly. We cannot wait to talk to you guys again on Thursday. We love y'all.
're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.